Have you ever taken a personal problem and turned it into a solution? That's what I discussed with Milan of Lace by Lawn. She was diagnosed with lupus, experienced alopecia, and was learning how to make wigs on her own. She turned it into a business, which is now shifting into a medical aspect. And there's so much more that she discusses with me on this week's episode. Find out what her journey is like and any advice that she has for those who are experiencing similar health ailments. I think you'll enjoy it. Milan, thank you so much for joining me on the Beauty and Recreation Podcast. I am really excited to talk to you about a bunch of things. Maybe people don't know, maybe they do know, but tell people about yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Milan. I'm the owner of Lace by Lawn, and that is a custom wig making company. We make wigs for every head size, every head shape, whether you're experiencing hair loss or just wanting a wig just for fashion and to make yourself look even prettier. I'm your girl for your custom wig.
So when did you get into wig making?
I got into wig making in 2016. I had made a few wigs, but none of them were good, so they never really got worn. I had a friend that actually, she was a hairdresser, and she made wigs, and she was tired of making mine, so she taught me. And I learned, I sat with what she taught me, and I practiced, and eventually, people just started asking me, like, hey, who's doing your hair? Or, your hair looks so nice. Is that a wig? And I went through this whole phase of going everywhere and lifting my wig up so everyone could see.
Gosh. Because
I'm just like in awe of myself, and people are in awe of the wigs that are on my head because they look like they're coming from my scalp. So initially it all started as just something recreational that I was doing because I wanted to do it for myself versus having to pay someone else. And then in 2017, I started experiencing hair loss. And so that's when the wigs became less recreational and more so a necessity. And sitting around in my parents' living room with my husband and my friend, just joking around, throwing out names of what my business could be named. Mm-hmm. And Lace by Lawn stuck. And it's been the name of my business and my brand since we became an LLC in 2018.
Okay. But still a couple more years prior to 2018. So 7 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I got to ask, when did you get exposed to like the upkeep of your hair, or like in skincare and things like that?
I feel like as a Black girl, like you get exposed early on. Like growing up, my mom always took pride in not only my hair, but like just the upkeep, the appearance of it, the maintenance of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to the salon a lot. My mom was one of those stay-at-home mothers that everything was done in-house. My perms, my roller sets, my press outs, the hot comb on the stove, yeah, all of that. And so as a little girl, I kind of took pride early on in my appearance, mm-hmm, whether it was from hair all the way down to fashion. So I would say from the age of the time of being a child, that's really when it started for me, because I would sit and get my hair done by my mom, but I would also watch her as a child do her own hair and just maintain her own upkeep.
You said upkeep was very important to you. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned prior that you were experiencing hair loss. To go mm-hmm from the importance of upkeep and how it basically was a part of your identity and your understanding of like, this is what we do, to, oh my God, I'm experiencing hair loss. Like, how do I approach this? What is happening? Like, what was going on like emotionally for you in that moment?
Emotionally, I was just distraught, confused. Like I mentioned, like my hair was my crown, and I had very long, thick hair. And so any style I wanted, and that's why, like, now I still have my sad moments, but I live with every hairstyle, like from braids to a short pixie cut or a long silk press. Like I've had everything that you could think of. But it was more so just confusion and not necessarily knowing what was going on with my body. I was diagnosed with lupus in 2013. And later, of course, I realized that lupus can kind of make you experience other things.
Okay.
Other ailments that they stem from having lupus.
Okay.
So with having lupus, I also experienced alopecia. And so that was the beginning of my hair loss. And it started with just little teeny spots of my hair thinning out. And so I still had hair. At that time, I had like a fade, like a low fade or like a Caesar.
Yeah.
So I kept my hair cut really short to mask the baldness. And then it became to the point where it was something that we couldn't mask anymore. So I cut it completely off. And occasionally I go back and forth between the bald head or wearing a wig. But for me, it was just, that's the main thing I think that I felt, aside from just the sadness of losing the hairs, just the confusion and not necessarily knowing what was going on and trying to figure it out. Because at that point in time, I may have been like 20 or 21. So I was very young.
Still in college or like just about to finish?
I had actually just started what I call my big girl job. So I had graduated from college. I had moved out of the state that I grew up in and I was starting my adult life. And so it was actually, it felt like at that time, the worst time ever because I'm young, I'm starting my new life. And stress did play a part in it all because stress is definitely one of the main triggers I have for lupus.
Okay.
And stress, of course, can also cause you to have hair loss. But I ended up getting a really good rheumatologist that also I saw in conjunction with a dermatologist who was able to diagnose me. We've done many different things as far as like shots and medications, topical steroids, and some of the things brought the hair back, but nothing brought the hair back permanently. I kind of moved from a space of trying to figure it out and trying to fix it and into the space of let's embrace this.
Right, and do something else.
How can we move forward with this being our new norm? And so that's kind of how Lace by Lawn evolved because it was an amazing blessing to be able to have this trait or this skill.
Yeah.
Because wigs can get expensive.
They
so
are.
For me to be able to make them by myself with my hands, it was like almost like in a sense a full circle moment because even though initially when I was first diagnosed, I was so distraught and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
It was almost this sense of like God just saying like, it's okay.
Got another
plan.
There's
work around.
Yeah.
It is another plan.
Oh, wow. I appreciate you sharing all of that. I think.
No problem.
In my days of cosmetology and actually being behind the chair and coming across a lot of women who had lupus or the hair falling out after giving birth or while they were pregnant or I'm on this medication. So, you know, style my hair this way because
right,
gonna fly back that way. And I would come across a lot of Black women who had lupus. They never mentioned like, oh, I'm comfortable with wigs. But for you, it was kind of like, I'm picked up something that, one, gives me a creative outlet. And then two, actually is an asset to what I'm going through.
Right.
Now, let's say you didn't have the skill. What would be the cost of all of this? Like, how much have you spent or would have spent if you had to buy wigs?
Oh, my God. Like, I
and
know for sure
wig.
it would be thousands and thousands of dollars like today out of all the different types of wigs I have. But I would say a quality wig it's minimally going to cost you $300 minimally. And that's including quality hair, quality construction. And like I said, that's minimal.
Yeah.
And so I feel like in the business space, a lot of people today that I've noticed that are like in the wig and hair arena, their prices are so high. And one thing that I try to do with Lace by Lawn, I pride myself with Lace by Lawn, is just being affordable and for the everyday wig wearer. Because everyone is not a Beyonce or someone that has a lot of money to spend on a wig. And so for me, I try my best to have the wig priced in a reasonable range while also offering the information behind it that will allow somebody to understand, like, okay, maybe I'm paying $300 for this wig, but my wig is going to last me 3 years or more. But to get a quality wig, one that's going to last you a very long time, because there are wigs like you can get on like sites like Amazon and stuff like that that'll ship to your door and be there tomorrow, and they cost $50, but they're not going to last past that one wear.
Wow. Well, this one that you have on, do you have a name for it?
So this is actually everyone's favorite wig. This is our Bobby wig. It's also my husband's favorite wig, which is so funny. Because every time I'm like in the bathroom getting ready, he's like, you going to wear the Bobby? You going to wear the Bobby? So yes, this is our
Bob. Do you do the little Bob, little...
Oh, yes, girl. Yes. Okay. That's how you know your Bob is bobbing, okay? You got it. It's the neck motion, how the bob swings. Yes. But yes, I always recommend this wig for our beginners because it's very easy. It's no glue needed, no adhesive. Mm-hmm. It's just literally put it on and go.
Wow. Do you have a comb or like
I don't have any combs
elastic
in mine.
Band?
Yes. Inside of my wig, I have an elastic band. All of the wigs that I make, I put elastic bands in. I'm not a clip person. I will put in clips if it's requested by a client. However, I don't recommend them because the tension sometimes can pull out your hair. And so I offer people different options, such as softer adhesives that are not necessarily used for your wig staying on for a long time. Mm-hmm. There are like gels and things like that that you can use, and mousses that you can just spray on, and it'll give you a hold for maybe a few hours or for that day. As long as you're not like someone that sweats a lot. But if you are a sweater, you have the option to wear your wig without anything. And so I always recommend that. Yeah. And so that's what's considered a glueless wig. And so with a glueless wig, you can literally just put it on top of your head and you can go.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Yeah. I mean, predominantly, that's what I like to sell, glueless wigs. Of course, I sell any type of wig that you would like. But my favorite are closures that are typically a 4x4 dimension or 5x5. They have some that are even large as like 6x6 or 7x7. Mm-hmm. At that point, you're kind of getting into the frontal realm. And with the frontal, that's laced from ear to ear. And it's usually a 13x4 base. And I'm not a lover of frontals, just simply because frontals take a little bit more maintenance to look extremely realistic. So for me, I'm a closure girl. Those are the type of wigs that I recommend initially for anyone, whether you're a new wig wearer or someone that is used to wearing wigs. It's mm-hmm. just easy, and it's easy maintenance, and it's not a lot of effort to put it on and make it look nice.
So the past 2 years, a lot has happened. A lot of conversation has happened around alopecia areata. Mm-hmm. You know, there's prominence in data around Black women's health, whether it's with mm-hmm. like birth rates to different diseases. But the one thing that has been holding on strong is formaldehyde in products, specifically mm-hmm. relaxers, and the mm-hmm. impact on the Black woman's body, because we are the ones who use it the most frequently. Mm-hmm. What do you think about all of that?
Like I mentioned, I'm one of those people that was sitting in the bathroom getting her hair permed. I was never a just for me girl. I always had very thick hair. So from the jump, I was getting adult perms. But I personally do not know how that may have affected me. It's definitely something that I've considered. But with having the diagnosis of alopecia, I kind of always have chalked up my hair loss to either being a cause from alopecia or a cause from having lupus and the medications that I take. But I definitely feel like, just like all chemicals, a perm is a very strong chemical to put into your hair to change the entire texture of your hair. And so for me, it's not wild to think that it can or may have caused hair loss in our demographic.
Mm. Well, I'll be surprised to see what comes of it. I know there's an FDA call for comment. I'm hoping that those of us who have been impacted by relaxers and have seen mm-hmm. the issues actually leave a comment, because it should be removed. And I want to relax my hair again one day. I mean, I haven't done mm-hmm. it in 2 years, but I don't like the smell. I never understood why it smells so bad in
No, none of
comparison to
us
everything
do.
else. I was just like, in hair school, like, what is that? And you know what we used to do? And I still did relaxers after finding this out. We would take the relaxer cream, put it on the curling iron. This is like
To clean your
2000.
curling iron, to
Yeah,
clean your
this was like
curling iron.
2003 I learned this. And our teacher's like, yeah, I know they have all like the dirt and the hairspray and everything on it. Just take the relaxer, put it on there and clean off. And I remember us all looking at each other like, what?
Exactly. And then you prepare to also put that on your client's head. Like, it's strange. It's similar to
Strange.
I'm an extreme like Pepsi lover, and I did some research on it when I was back in college and wrote a whole paper. And I learned that you can use Pepsi to clean off a car battery. And it's
Wow.
just like, so you mean to tell me they are selling this in stores for people to consume, but they also use it to clean car batteries? That's crazy.
I can get with like, okay, this is a multi-use product and you could do this, and this with it. But the moment you're like, oh, split it in half, you can clean the floor.
Yeah, no, somebody's using this in the wrong way. Is
Know what? There
this a
was
cleaning product or for my hair?
or for both. It doesn't matter. They're both dirty, you
<Yeah.
know. So what's your take on like the conversation? I kind of felt this way for a while because I would have clients who come in with wigs or with extensions, better said,
laughs>
and they would not give their scalp a break or wouldn't give their hair a break. And I remember having this one client, she was like 7 months pregnant. She's like, oh girl, yeah, you just wash my hair between the track. I got the sew-in in Milan. The sew-in was like, this is her scalp. Here's where the track was. And I'm like, you need to take these out. Oh no. I've had them in for months. This is not
No.
okay. And then you want to turn around, take it out, and then you wonder why your hair is broken off because you've been holding on to
Exactly.
something. I don't get that. But do you think it's a lazy thing? Do you think it's like, I don't know.
I don't know that is, I mean, I guess I could say in a sense maybe some laziness, but since I've been making wigs, I've learned there is a huge amount of women that do not know how to do anything with their hair.
Yeah.
Aside from a ponytail.
Yep.
And like I said, I've always been someone that was taught to maintain your hair, even if it was just a ponytail.
Yep.
I knew how to wash my own hair. I knew how to decondition my own hair. I was walking around the house with my hair up under the little clear shower cap so I could get it moisturized, get into my follicles. So that was something that was instilled in me. And I'm understanding now at this grown age that everyone was not taught how to maintain their own hair, even from a simple standpoint. So I see women that get those braids and things underneath of their wigs, and they are literally a beehive. They're in for months and months and months. I have a few friends that are in cosmetology and have their own salons and things like that. They're very intentional about making sure their clients understand the maintenance underneath of the wig. Because yes, your wig might look really nice and you look great, but your scalp is dry and it's not been treated in a long time. And those braids have to come out because your ends need to be clipped. And so it's a lot more around just throwing on a wig. And I try to ensure that the women also understand that yes, you can wear these wigs and yes, it is a good pick up and go style and less maintenance, but you do still have to maintain the hair underneath. I also try to stress to them that you do have to maintain your wigs also because that's where the longevity comes in. If you're not tending to your wig the same exact way that you would tend to your natural hair, your wig is not going to last you. I have clients that come to me and they're like, oh, my wig is so tangled and I can't fix it and something is wrong with it. No, girl, you just need a deep conditioner.
Right, or brush
Like,
it.
or brush it. Brush it when you
Brush
take
it
it off.
daily,
You don't
like
know
you would
how many
your
people
own
do
scalp.
not brush their own wig,
Oh, I
brush their
know.
wigs daily.
Yep.
Like, why are
Yep.
you not brushing your wig? Like, you wake up in the morning and you wash your face, you brush your teeth daily.
Yeah,
Why
you
are you
brush the
not
wig.
brushing your hair? It's literally human hair. It's not special hair because it's a wig. It's not going to like always be in place because it's a wig. It's still human hair. And when the wind blows, it's going to blow in the wind like your natural hair would. So you're going to have to put it back in place. But you can't even imagine what people think when they purchase a wig or finally receive their wig. It's just like they expect it to just be magical. But no, it's just a wig.
I think that's what it is. They think it's magical.
And it can be magical once you put it on right and you look like a queen, but it takes your extra efforts and your extra maintenance and just your intentionality to ensure that it's going to look and stay pristine. Mm.
Okay, so I wanted to like at least close with what you intend to do for 2024 with your company and just for what are you going to be offering?
I'm so excited for 2024. In 2023, I feel like it was a little bit of a more quiet season for me. But in 2024, of course, we'll still be selling wigs and creating custom wigs for all women and, hey, even some men, if that's what you like, we are here for it. But I'm recently in the process of getting different credentials. The most recent thing that I've, a course that I completed was to become a cranial prosthesis.
Nice.
Basically, I'll become a certified medical wig maker.
Nice.
And so I'll be able to make wigs for women that are experiencing hair loss, and I will be able to actually bill your insurance. So there is a specific way that many people do not know. You can get a wig made for your medical use. And of course you can't call your insurance and say, hey, I need a wig, but there's a specific medical term for wigs. And you basically, like in the sense of getting a prescription for a medication, you would get a write-up for a prescription for a medical wig. Mm. And we would discuss all of your wig needs, have a consultation, and we would essentially create your wig and bill your insurance. And so that's something that I've been working on pretty much all of 2023.
Okay.
So
I was with you for a second.
It will be a service that we're going to offer in 2024. So I'm extremely excited about that. It's something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. And wow, it's finally here. So that's something that we'll be doing. We actually are working with a brand new vendor. So we have all new hair, all new lace. And when I tell you this lace is different, like it literally melts into your skin, even without product. And so I'm very excited about that. And just the quality is still there, even better. And of course, with better quality comes price increases. So there will be price increases, but it will still be affordable. So,
I was going to say, as long as it's affordable, it will still understand. Be affordable. Yeah. And so is there anything that you would like to share for those who are experiencing lupus, who are new to experiencing alopecia areata, or just like trying to understand what their body is doing while their hair is doing the opposite?
I would simply say to give yourself grace, to feel your way through this experience. I know for me, lupus was kind of aggressive and abrupt. I went from being completely healthy my entire life and having grade A physicals and no health issues or ailments outside of having lupus. And when it came fast and it came hard. And it took a long time to diagnose. Lupus is one of those diseases that is not easily diagnosed. I was misdiagnosed multiple times. Mm-hmm. So I would just simply say to give yourself grace and to feel your way through it. There are going to be a lot of emotions. There's going to be a lot of stress. But I would just simply say to, one, of course, giving yourself the grace and just taking the time to find a really good doctor. I've had rheumatologists that seemed like they had so many patients on their plate and they were just so busy and I was just a number. Mm-hmm. But now I have a rheumatologist who has legit like grabbed my face and pulled me close to help me understand like what things I need to do to be in the best space while having lupus. And I would just say to try your best, because I say try your best because it is hard, but to stay encouraged. Losing your hair is not easy. And I know there are so many beautiful bald women out here who wear it flawlessly, and but it takes a lot of work and a lot of self-esteem to get yourself to that space of wanting to show off your bald crown. And so for me, I just encourage women to look inside for their beauty and to love themselves internally, because external, it can change very quickly. And so for me, I felt like this entire hair loss and hair loss experience has definitely been a journey that taught me to love myself no matter what it looks like or what I look like, because it starts with you. And once you finally establish that inner love, it exudes. Like, people that I encounter, especially when I'm not wearing my wig, they're like, oh my God, you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm just so like timid and like just sitting there, especially when I'm in full crown, like no hair, nothing.
Yeah.
That's when I'm just like, oh, I'm wondering, because I'm always wondering like what somebody is perceiving my bald head as. And so, yeah, I would just say to love yourself, and everybody else is going to love it too, girl. Simply, period, period.
So on that note, because it was a wonderful note, where can people find out more about you?
Yes, you can find my Instagram at Laced by Laun, LacedByLaun. And that has all of my information for my wigs. My website is on there. I have a website, which is www.lacedbylaun.com. And that has my bio on there. It tells you a little bit about my journey with lupus and my journey as a wig maker. Thank you.
Well, thank you. This was so good. I'm glad you shared so much. And you didn't have to, but you did. And I appreciate that.